Welcome to Put a Shrimp on It, the Barbie movie review show that isn't updating this week. We are actually doing a feed drop this week with Barbie Movie Slap. So their episode for The Magic of Pegasus is going to be on our feed. And our final Princess and the Pauper episode is going up on their feed. So if you guys want to just mosey on over there, we've got a link in the description. And I hope you enjoy their episode for The Magic of Pegasus. Let's get into the episode.
Okay, goodness. I need to find my notes. Because I take notes on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We have
so today
many
I brought an alcoholic beverage because I thought that that might make me
Whoa! I want an alcoholic beverage.
But actually, I'm just more sleepy.
You fool. You knew you were going to be sleepy.
Of course I'm sleepy. Nothing doesn't make me sleepy.
It's the ADHD.
Mood.
Don't mind me. I'm posting angst to TikTok.com.
Bro, I love you so much. How do you even post angst on TikTok?
Very carefully. Nobody cares about it.
I have my understanding of how a person uses and or navigates TikTok is zero. I can only
Excellent.
See a TikTok
that means
you send it to me.
Good. That means you can't see my other videos. As is only right. I followed Ellie on TikTok and she followed me back like immediately and I'm like, oh, Ellie, I post so much, I'm so sorry. And then I follow people's TikToks, I'm like, wait, that means they can see my TikTok.
They can see
it's
my
not
TikTok.
Like it's not like I change my username from platform to platform. The only thing is I'm safe. Nobody will ever be able to find my Tumblr.
I guess my Tumblr and my AO3 account are the same, and the rest of them are all the other one. And, like, I feel like that is good and right.
That sounds good and right.
But I can't, but the Tumblr is linked to my Twitter. I should take that off. I should take that off, honestly.
But also, people don't really go through those things, do they, to find...
I don't... Somebody, you know who did? It's Charlie Mack.
Charlie,
I know,
Charlie
so Mack,
you followed me on Instagram and something else, and I'm like, oh no, you can
Charlie,
see
we
my
love
shame.
You so much.
Charlie, I love you.
Charlie, we can't submit to the mortifying ideal of being known like this.
I don't want to be perceived. I hate being perceived. Now you know I'm a cosplayer, a dirty cosplayer.
Just like you,
just like you,
you just like me,
you just like me.
It's something anyone can see. A heart that beats, a voice that speaks the truth. Yes, I am a girl like you.
Oh my goodness. Hey, okay, we should actually, it's been 7-8 minutes, we should actually talk about
ready to
Barbie.
Talk about Barbie?
I'm super ready to talk about Barbie. I just got distracted. I'm pretty distracted every day of my life. Let me just...
So we watched the movie several days ago. I watched the movie again today, like, but barely.
Aw, you're so good.
Aw, babe.
I didn't. I slept for a really long time. And then I slept some more and annoyed my cat until he left me.
Aw.
Yeah.
I played Pizzeria, what is it, Papa's Pizzeria on CoolMathGames.com.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Sounds amazing. I, while we were watching, Barbie and the Magic of the Pegasus words, I was all like, sister dearest, I need the old Barbie CD-ROM games. And she said, yeah, okay, I found a website for you. So... I am going to play Barbie Princess and the Pauper CD-ROM. Maybe I'll do a live stream.
Bro! You gots to.
Which ones did I get? I got Barbie Princess and the Pauper, Barbie of Swan Lake, Enchanted Forest, Barbie Super Sports, Captain Crunch Crunchling Adventure, and the Magic Fairy Tale Barbie as Rapunzel. But it's not the Rapunzel one based on the movie, it's the original.
Oh.
I can't use two words. It is the original Barbie Rapunzel game. Mm-hmm. It's super good. I really like it. We should play it together.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about Pegasus. Some flying horses. this movie is about Annika, who is kind of a brat, except I love her. She just wants to be free, and also you should explain to your children why you have rules, otherwise they're going to break those rules.
Plus, honestly.
They're all like, what was I watching? It was a movie with Jack Black, with Clock in the Walls, or something. It was a fun little movie.
I actually...
No, it was The House with a Clock in its Walls.
Okay, I haven't seen that, but it came out at like the same time that Goosebumps did, which confused me very much.
Yeah. No, it was actually really good. I really liked it. Usually when it gets middle poorish range reviews, like from IMDb and Rotten Tomato and stuff, but its Google user review is really high, I know it's going to be a fun movie. Uh-huh. It's just not like artistic or quote-unquote good, it's just a fun movie. So, it was very good.
Fun.
Anyways, he was all like, the only rule is that cannot open that wardrobe. And the kid was like, why? And he's like, it's just a rule. And I'm like, no!
That really ain't how you do it, my dude.
You can lie! I don't care! Tell him something! Be all like, there's an evil thing locked away in there. And he'd be like, oh, okay. Or you're all like, I keep the expensive china in there, and I just don't want anything to happen. Anything! Tell him it's an evil demon, tell him it's your expensive china, but don't just, like, leave the curiosity open, because then he's gonna find the magic book and raise an evil dead guy, okay? That's how these things happen if you don't watch FMA. So Barbie and the Princess of Pegasus!
That's not what it's called! Okay. Okay. Some background on this movie. when we were gonna watch this movie, like when we were first like, oh, that's the next one. I was like, yeah, we're gonna do Magic of Pegasus, and my little sister was like, oh, we saw that in theaters, and I was like, yeah. And then I was like, wait, no, this is a direct to DVD. This is a direct to video movie. It was never in theaters. We both have this very specific memory of having seen this movie in theaters. Mom thinks that maybe there was, like, this weird theater that showed kids' movies for really cheap, for, like, $1 each, and we might have gone to it there. But I feel like we must have had the DVD at some point, but we don't now, because we had the 3D glasses that go with it.
I have the DVD, and I think I only have, like, one pair of 3D glasses. I think it comes with four, but I have one pair of 3D glasses. And the thing you guys need to know about this movie is that it's in 3D, but only certain parts.
This movie is about pretty skating and being in 3D, and that's it. That's everything. Yes. That's the movie.
It also has, like, a perfect example of the hero's journey steps, which I have open.
I'm very excited for that.
So, in the bottom corner of the screen, a little symbol shows up, and it's all like, when this symbol shows up, put on your 3D glasses, and when this symbol shows up, you take them off. I did until this moment, also. So, you, like, put them on while she's ice skating, and then you take them off. And then while she's about to get eaten by a troll, you put them on, and then you take them off.
You very definitely put them on during the troll scene.
Oh, yeah. He leans in, and you're like, oof, I can smell that breath. Have you ever been to a 4D movie? Those are awful for my little autistic brain.
Oh, hon.
And body. When I was little, we went to, like, I don't know, Orlando Studios or something, and there was a 4D Shrek adventure. And Donkey sneezed, and then they sprayed you with water.
Yep.
And I was like, oh. And then there were termites, and your seat bumped up, and I was like, ah! And then there was wind, and oof. I can do, like, scary things now. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to a haunted house, and I was fine, actually.
Oh, really?
I was just like, yes.
Bro,
I
you are so strong.
I was full of adrenaline, and I was a cute little clown person with my GF. And then we all held hands. Conley went with us, and Tia, who is Andy's friend from work, and we all held hands and went in a little line. And Conley was trying to go really fast, and the two people, which was Tia and Andy behind me, were like pushing on me. And I'm like, oh wow, look at the scenery. This is excellent. and I think I could probably handle fast rides, but I couldn't when I was little, and I think it was just, like, overstimulation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too many noises, I didn't get nauseous, I got, like, freaked out, so I couldn't go on fast rides. So instead, I went on Winnie the Pooh ride, and It's a Small World After All, like, 5 times with my mom.
See, well, I have always craved that stimulation. Gotta get it, gotta have it.
Hey, fellas, I could tell you some things about Ray as a child.
Please do not.
Such as your weird misogamy face. You were all like, I can't be a girl. Girls are weak and they can't do anything. And I was like, okay, loser. I'll be the pretty princess. And you're like, okay, I'll be Mario.
Okay, but who's a girl now? It's neither of us, so.
Gender is fake.
Hey guys, Spotify gives me demographics on our listeners, and we have like 7% non-binary people, and like 11%
dudes.
We
love you.
We love
You're
all
valid.
Of you. I love you girls, I love you dudes, I love you non-binary pals, my folks, my
and
peeps.
Everything in between, and all of them at once, it's, yes, you guys are wonderful.
Valid.
And I love you. Gender's fake. I had some thoughts about my gender recently, and I'll tell them to you later.
Okay, I'm excited.
I'm all like, I have thoughts. And I think I've probably shared them with you before. Oh, your sister knows things. We were, like, walking together downtown, and she was just all like, so, how do you identify? And I'm like,
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. It was good. I love you, Charlotte. You're the best. But also, whenever somebody asks me that, I just blank, and I'm like, what? You're perceiving me? I'm not prepared to be perceived.
Whomst has an identity, not me.
Because I have, like, intricate thoughts about myself. Mm-hmm. And also, like, when I was in college, like, the art I did, I had, like, very specific thoughts, and it was really personal to me, but as soon as I try to say it, it sounds silly.
Aww.
So I'm like, I can't talk to you about how this oil painting represents, the feeling of failure and also dysphoria and, like, a feeling of, like, literally dropping in your stomach. It's very literal, and also teeth. So, okay. So, this is a 3D Barbie movie. I don't even know where we went.
This movie came out in 2005.
It was the same as the other ones.
Mm-hmm. So, the director of this film, it's Greg Richardson. So,
2005.
This is his first time directing a Barbie movie. He's got a couple more coming up.
Okay.
The other work that he's done that he's going to do as of this movie, like, this is the first movie project, I think, that they gave him. He had already done editing on a couple of these last movies.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to do a couple more Barbie movies, and he's going to do a couple of Max Steel movies, which is another Mattel toy line.
What? Max
Steel? Yeah, they got a few TV shows. Anyways,
Steel.
So apparently these movies were only released in Latin America, and you couldn't buy them. You got them as a gift when you bought other products. Like, you would get, like, a certain thing, and then you'd be like, oh, here, have a movie. I just found this extremely fascinating. I read a Wikipedia page
today.
They
had a live-action Max Steel film.
They do! Isn't that we should watch that from 2016. That was not what my boy Greg did.
This October, unleash your power. Oof, look at this
right,
animated
doesn't he?
One.
But
okay,
like,
he looks familiar.
I'm sure that I've never actually seen him. I don't know.
He just kind of looks like Ben 10 also.
Yeah.
Max Steel 2000. Turbo Max Steel. Oof, okay. Anyways, so Annika is the protagonist of this movie, and we actually have a good little ensemble. Good, used tentatively, because, you know, animal sidekick. So I'm trying to think of how it starts, because isn't she just sneaking out of the castle?
No, it starts with her mom going to get her up in the morning, or bringing her something or something, and she opens the door and Annika's not there, and she pulls like a cord and everyone yells, the princess is missing, because these bells are for the princess being missing specifically.
And then it cuts to her dad and he's like, again? She does this a lot. So yeah, and then we get the opening sequence with the credits and stuff, and it's her ice skating on like this little lake area, and it's actually really cool. There's a little bird montage, some credits.
Okay.
And she's really cute.
The music also.
Yes, the music in this is super good.
It's my boy.
Your boy?
It is. It's Arnie Roth.
Arnie Roth!
Yeah.
He did all the other ones. The legend, Arnie Roth.
He did all these other ones except Fairytopia. That's the only one that he hasn't composed or, what's the other word, arranged for these movies. He is a legend. He is incredible. He does everything for me. I love him so much.
He's done so much for my life.
The, like, ice skating theme from this movie is actually Beethoven's Symphony Number 6, Pastoral. Oh. I had to look it up to know that one. I didn't recognize it off the top of my head. I'm sure that, like, it sounds familiar, but it probably mostly sounds familiar to me from this movie because I was exposed to it at a very young age. I don't know. It's hard to tell where you know, like, really classic music from. But that's one of two songs that we have that are in this movie that are, like, you know, not an original composition.
Okay. I like it when they use classical pieces.
Yeah, it's really nice. And my boy Arnie knows what he's doing with them, so...
Yeah, he does. He knows good old placement. So, she's skating, and there is a tiny little polar bear, and we'll talk about the polar bear in just a second, but the polar bear is watching her skate, and she, like, is all like, ooh, I wanna be a fancy person, too! But then she, like, gets in Annika's way, and Annika trips over her, and they both, like, skate into the snowbank. And she's all like, whoa, where did you come from? And she's like, a polar bear cub? And she's like, wait, are you cold? You had one job, polar bear, and it was to not be cold in the winter. And the polar bear is all like, oop-a-la. So let's talk about this polar bear, whose name is Shiver, because Annika is super creative. And she's like, oh, you're shivering. I'll call you Shiver. The only reason I do not hate this polar bear is because my favorite animal is polar bears. I have a polar bear stuffed animal collection. I love them. They're super cute and soft. My favorite stuffed animal that I own is a polar bear. I sleep with it every night. I love them. They're very cute. And I'm all like, so I see Shiver and my monkey brain goes, oh, soft, fluffy, white. Because I also grew up with Samoyeds, so there's like that connection. And I'm like, oh, fluffy, soft, cute.
Okay.
And then it opens its mouth.
I have never hated, like, Bibble the way that you hate Bibble. I just don't have very much hatred for these kinds of fictional characters. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Until we get to the dogs.
Once I hit the endearing, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I don't care. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So, but the noises that this bear makes, they hurt me so badly. They hurt me in my soul. Would you like to know who's making those noises?
Oh, do I?
Oh, I bet you do.
Okay.
It's Kathleen Barr. That's...
What?
Yes. This is our classic Barbie actress woman. She was Laverna in the last movie, and now she's
making... Kathleen Barr, what have you done?
Okay. Do you want to know how many roles Kathleen plays in this movie? Like...
I think I do.
Kathleen is also her mother, the queen. She is also... Rayla, the cloud prince, the cloud queen. Yes, she is also Eric, the small child who she's going to skate with later, and she's also one of the troll wives.
Oh,
she has five roles in this film, and one of them is this terrible bear
wife. Before or after she's a troll?
Both.
Oh, she just makes some troll sounds.
Yeah, you know.
So she has Shiver, this polar bear that Ray's not a fan of, who is Kathleen Barr. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Why does this bear speak English? Why do bears speak English word?
There has to be some sort of, like, Scooby-Doo phenomena in which the animal sidekick knows broken English. And if there's not, I'm going to write a research paper.
Okay, good. Also, she's all like, do you have any family? And the bear, like, shakes her little head. And it's like, can you trust that bear? There's a mama bear, and she will come for you.
There is the phenomena known as Scrappy-Doo. Goodness. Okay. Yeah, so she tries to sneak back in with this polar bear that she just took. Where's its mother?
Did just steal a polar bear.
She just... stole a wildlife creature, and PETA is gonna be on her ass any second now.
Oh, hey. While I was watching this movie the second time today, I had a thought, and that thought is, she has a baby polar bear. That bear's going to grow up. Can I please have fan art of future Annika and Aiden and their, like, adventuring gear with their giant bear,
babe,
like, decked out in, like, bejeweled battle armor.
Like, babe, that's just an avatar.
Exactly.
It's Korra.
What I'm saying is that Annika is Korra, which is everything that I've ever
that
desired.
That means Annika is the next avatar. As is right. So she tries to sneak back in, and her parents were all like, where were you? We were super worried. And she was all like, whoopsie. What's up, guys? And they're like, is that a bear? It's kind of cute. Wait, no, that is a bear?
Well, her parents are wild. Like, you cannot have a bear. And then they just don't do anything about it. She just keeps the bear.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. They're like, no, okay, you can't go out anymore. This is for your own good. No more ice skating. We're taking it away. This is my favorite part of the entire movie because they do it. They say the line. She's all like, you don't understand anything. You're ruining my life. And then she cries and runs off.
I cannot believe. Okay. Also, Annika's Kelly Sheridan, of course. Kelly Sheridan is not good at whining or fake crying or like...
No,
her
she's
voice
good
is
at
not
being
made
a
for
supportive
it.
Role model.
Right. Kelly Sheridan is not made to be a brat.
And to be fair, her parents aren't really explaining anything.
Yes, exactly. She's like, why can't I go out? That doesn't make any sense. And they're like, well, so?
Yeah, they're also like, we're your parents. You gotta listen to us. And she's like, I ain't gotta do nothing. And then she cries. And then it's her birthday.
It is her birthday. And people are out having a skating party, presumably in honor of the princess's birthday. So like...
Or maybe this is just the thing they do on Thursdays.
Or maybe they just enjoy skating, yeah.
Yeah, so she's all like, no, we're not gonna stay here and take this, Shiver. And Shiver's all like, ooh. And she gets out a cute little ice skating outfit. And she takes Shiver and she sneaks over and just takes her skates from where they... her parents just hung them up. They didn't hide them or anything. She just takes her skates and then she skates out to the town to go have the party. And she skates in and then everyone stops. And the music stops. And then a small boy, like, can't stop because he's a child and is bad at ice skating. Mm-hmm. And he almost runs into her. And she's all like, do you want to skate with me?
Well, he does a little bow and he's like, your highness, to, like, apologize. And she's like, oh, yeah. What's your name? And he's like, Eric. And she's like, let's skate. It's really sweet. I like that.
And she's like, oh, don't stop on my account. And then everyone keeps, like, skate dancing, and it's super cute.
It's a fun little party.
Then she starts showing off her mad ice skating skills. And she's skating and spinning in a tight little circle. Then there's creepy clouds, and then everyone stops dancing. But she just keeps on spinning. But to be fair, as soon as the music stops, she stops. She just doesn't take notice. And then there's a nasty man on a griffin. And his name is Winlock. And he's just all like, oh, hello.
Bro,
and she's all like,
on me.
Whoomst?
I'm losing you.
And then he's just all like, you're gonna marry me. And she's like, I do not think I'm going to do that. And he's all like, oh, yes, you will. And then her parents show up and they're all like, I don't remember what they say. Because they're all like, no, you can't take her. And he's all like, something about their other daughter. And she's all like, your what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're all like, you've already, you know, you've already had a wife, you already got married. He's like, yeah, but then they got annoying and I hated them. So I need a new, fresh, young thing, and that's your daughter.
Hey.
And then, yeah?
Okay, this, confirmed by the wiki, the Barbie wiki.
Yeah?
Annika's 16. It's her 16th birthday.
Yes. How old is her sister?
Her sister, it was also her birthday. Skipping ahead a little bit, sorry about this, guys, but it was her sister's birthday when Winlock came after her, presumably also 16th birthday, so she's at least 32 now.
Winlock is a pedophile.
Winlock is a
pedophile. And a creep.
Okay, Winlock is like those people who have, like, countdowns online for when actresses are going to become quote-unquote legal.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's all like...
Winlock is absolute nastiest man.
He is. Hey, fellas, sidetrack. My favorite thing that Ray has ever done is we saw the, this was a few years ago when, I think we were 21, and we saw the new Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland, and immediately you were all like, can I have a crush on her?
No!
A on, you're like, can I have a crush on Zendaya? And you looked it up and she was 21. You're like, hell yeah, that's legal. Which, I don't know, I just super respect. You're like, I'm going to look up your age. And if you're underage, I'm going to immediately drop this and not be creepy. And I was like, yeah. Which I think is just like a really good way of doing it. I hate TikTokers. I go on their page and I'm like, what's your age? And they're like, I'm not gonna tell you. And I'm like, I need to know if you're a minor.
Oh no.
If you're a minor, I can't follow you. Oh, no. I am adult. There, I'll tell you all that drama later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oof, there is some stuff. Anyways, he's a creep and he already has three wives and he failed with Annika's sister, who you only just now know kind of exists.
Right. This is the first time she's been actually brought up. Like,
presumably
on my 16-year-old
girls.
Presumably 16-year-old girls, which is disgusting. On my rewatch, I have no idea what I was about to say. Oh, during her conversation with her parents, they actually do kind of seed in, like, the idea that something happened a long time ago and that it has something to do with her family or, like, you know, I feel like the introduction of this stuff was pretty good in the plot.
Yeah.
Oh. So,
I'm on the Wikia, and it's saying that Brietta was taken a few years before Annika was born. And she's also gonna voice Courtney in the 12 Dancing Princesses.
Okay, who are you talking about? I totally missed
Brietta.
It. Okay, yes, Brietta. I can't pronounce her name.
Sister.
La Linea Lindbergh Strelau, something like that. In my notes, I have that she was Bulma in Dragon Ball Z, and that most importantly, she was Venus de Milo in TMNT The Next Mutation.
Oh my goodness.
She was the titty turtle.
The titty turtle.
Anyways, I love her. I love
She's
her voice.
Super good. Her
She's
voice
so
is
good
like
in this movie.
Super soft and really interesting.
Okay. Brietta is just a sad lesbian who's been beaten down by bad men, and she's scared
she
of the world
really
now,
is.
And I support her, and I love her.
I adore this girl.
Honestly.
So, Winlock turns everyone to stone, and he's all like, either marry me, or they'll stay like this forever. And she's like, And then a Pegasus comes out of nowhere and swoops her up, and is all like, get on, and she's like, yeah, okay.
Winlock's griffin is about to fly after them, and Winlock's like, don't chase her, women chase me. And then he yells at her that they have 3 days until the petrification becomes permanent, so she has to marry him before then.
Mm-hmm.
He's
like, she'll be back.
Right. During Winlock's scenes, they play small phrases from In the Hall of the Mountain King, which...
Oh!
Yeah!
You're right, they do!
Isn't that good?
Heck yeah.
Because Winlock has turned all of his previous wives into troll women, but it's like, mm-hmm. he's the troll on the inside. It's important
he is
to
the
me.
Troll king. He's the troll king.
Yeah, coercing women into marrying him. You know, as you do.
Nasty man. Which, you know, really led into a lot of my childhood games, where my mom comes into my bedroom and she's like, what's happening? And we're like, well, Ken is forcing Barbie to marry him, so her friends are banding together to save her. And my mom's all like, fun. So, the Pegasus takes her up to a cloud kingdom and describes, Winlock as a wizard who takes what he wants when he wants, and he has a powerful wand that he stole from someone.
Right. Can't even get his own magic, scrub.
My god, yeah. He is a scrub.
Winlock is voiced by, where's my note? Oh, Colin Murdoch, who I think I mentioned in our Princess and the Pauper episode because he was the royal scheduler in that.
Oh, yeah.
He has, like, hundreds of voice acting credits, and I don't know, like, any of them. Oh, but relevantly, he actually has a lot of roles in the Max Steel stuff, so that's fun.
Oh!
Apparently he has worked with Mattel before.
Wow, good for him.
Or will continue to, whichever, you know.
Well, you know, considering Mattel is being weird, I should look up, like, the history of Mattel.
Right. It's gotta be fascinating.
Screwing things over. So she learns that this horse is Brietta, and she meets a trio of small girls in the Cloud Kingdom, and they're like, Brietta, there you are!
I love it when we have a trio of small girls. They're my fave.
Yes! which we had in Rapunzel.
Right.
And I know we'll have them again.
Yeah.
Because the trio of small girls. I know, I am pretty sure, oh, we had them in Rapunzel, and we also had them in Swan Lake.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like we did,
no,
yes.
He had at least one sibling, but
he had
I'm
a brother,
sure,
and he had three sisters, I'm pretty sure.
I think we're thinking about Rapunzel.
I know that he had a brother. I feel like he had sisters also, but I am not positive.
And, yeah. But I'm pretty sure in Island Princess, there's also a trio of small girls.
I don't remember that, but I would believe it.
Because they bond with Tiki.
Okay, did you know that this trio of small girls has names? Because I didn't.
What?
Right?
No, that makes sense.
So the pink one is Rose. She's Chantal Strand, who's the Kelly voice actress. the orange one, Blush, is Canadian actress Jessica M. Lee. This is her only Barbie voice credit. She normally does live action work, as far as I can tell.
Oh, okay.
IMDb tells me she is most well known for being Mallory on Heartland. So if that means anything to anyone.
I've heard of Heartland, but I've never seen it, and I don't know anything about it.
The purple one is Lilac, and she's voiced by Andrea Libman. This is her first Barbie role. She's going to have a couple more. And she's the voice actress for Fluttershy and Pinkie Pie in My Little Pony. Friendship is
Everyone
Magic.
Everyone in My Little Pony voices, you know, if you're My Little Pony actress, one, you do a lot of things. Two, you voice at least three characters.
Yeah, there's just a lot of people in My Little Pony.
There are.
There are a lot of ponies. Every pony.
So Rayla, the Cloud Queen, comes out and she's all like, oh, we have a guest or something.
Hey.
And basically, yes, I know, you're in love with Rayla, the Cloud Queen.
Well, I was going to say that the names Brietta and Rayla both have extreme lesbian energy. I don't know what it is about it, but
hey, now Brietta and Rayla can be in love. It's kind of hard having a relationship with a horse. She's been a horse for at least 16 years.
She sure has. My girl.
Has she aged?
I presume so. I would think so.
It's hard to tell in Barbie animation if you've changed. Everyone looks the same.
Yeah. What I have in my notes for this conversation that you're about to do is...
Yeah?
What I have written down is Annika's like, that asshole Winlock turned everyone into rocks. And Rayla's like, damn girl, that sucks.
I have my sister... because they're all like, your sister. And she's like, my what?
I have your sister? So same.
And then in parentheses for myself, I say, how long has she been a horse? Because I can't stop thinking about how old is she? How long has she been a horse? Okay, 16 and 16 is 32. I think she's like 35. Brietta's 35. Yeah. I tried looking up her age, but Wikia wouldn't tell me. So then she's like, you know, there has to be something we can do to counteract this curse. And they're like, she's like, my magic isn't strong enough to stop Winlock. There are, you know, there's a myth of a wand of light, and it's the most powerful magic of all. And she's like, oh, where do we find it? And she's like, it isn't built. It's found. It isn't found. It's built with these three specific things. She's all like, the measure of courage, the ring of light. No, measure of courage, ring of love. And a gem of ice lit by hope's eternal flame. And Annika, bless her sweet dumb ass, she's all like, that's only three things! And I'm like, Annika, what does that mean? What, do you even know what she's talking about? Yeah, sure, it's three things that you have no, like, base of knowledge for. And her sister, who was like a sweetheart pessimistic, she's all like, I've tried for years and it doesn't exist. There's nothing we can do. And she's like, nah, we can do this. Because Annika is like the best.
She's like, rip to you, but I'm different.
Yeah. And then we find out that Rose, Blush, and Daisy?
Lilac.
They changed the clouds every sunset and sunrise.
This is the most memorable thing about the movie to me. It's the little magical things about these movies that are just, they just stick with you forever.
It's just like a nice little moment. It's pretty soft. And then we switch to Winlock. And he has three tiny troll ladies and he's planning food for his wedding to Annika. And he's like, do I want chicken? No. Beef? No. Fish? Why skimp out? Let's have all three. And then he's like, what is this, a bone? And I'm like, there's bones in fish, you idiot. and then he, like, knocks over a tray and uses it as a mirror, and then knocks over all of the food, and he's all like, clean this up! And I'm like, dang.
This man disgusts me. Do you know, so I already told you that troll wife number one is Kathleen Barr. I couldn't tell you which one is which.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what it says in the credits.
Well, she's probably the main one that has the most lines.
I would have, well,
the redhead.
Well, troll wife number two is Lilina Lynchburg-Schlau, and troll wife number three is Kelly Sheridan.
Oh!
Our three main ladies are also these ladies, which I find fascinating.
Huh, nice. They just didn't want to get more voice actors. That's fine.
Okay, but thematically, it works very nicely for me.
Yeah.
For me personally.
You're like,
it's like,
I like
how
that.
In the Magnus Archives, Johnny Sims cast his mom and his dad as...
I know. As was it Jürgen Leitner?
Yeah.
And, okay.
And Gertrude Robinson, which is like,
those are his parents.
It's so good. Everything about that
inside.
Is good.
I would die for Johnny Sims.
But he didn't even like do that on purpose. He was just like, oh, they can voice act.
I love my parents, but they cannot voice act.
I know.
So I don't know what kind of a family he's from. We switch back to Annika and Brietta, who have gone on an adventure to the Forbidden Forest, to find a measure of courage.
They land, and Brietta is like, I've seen enough, and...
She's like, I'd like to leave now, and Annika's like, dude, chill. I need y'all to know, Shiver is still here.
She sure is. They sure did bring that tiny bear with them.
She's here this whole time. The whole time. And then there's a little slide trap, and they slide down, and then they're in a net thing.
Well, Shiver slides down the trap, and then she's gone. And then they, like, land in the nets or something? Because Annika goes down the trap later, and that's how she gets in Troll Stew to land, you know?
Yeah. So, okay, my lad, my boy, Aiden, shows up, and he and Annika have the best rapport.
Okay.
It's so good. I have some lines written down.
Me too.
So they're in this net, and they're hanging, and Aiden comes along. He's like, well, looks like I caught a couple of idiots. Or something. And she's all like, could you let us down? And he's like, maybe. But he's all like, why are you here? Only fools come to the forest. And Annika is all like, and
yeah,
you're
here. It's so good.
And he cuts them down. And I don't know how to get to this, but he's like, wow. He doesn't really even bat an eye at the talking Pegasus.
But the Pegasus is like, this is my sister, the princess.
Sorry.
And he's like,
and he's all like, sisters? I can see the resemblance. And then he points to Shiver and he's like, let me guess, your cousin? And she's like, cute. And she's like, we're trying to find the Wand of Light. And he's like, y'all know that's dumb, right? That it's not real. And she's all like, well, I'm gonna go find it. Sucks to suck, buddy. And then she leaves. They're so good. They're so bitter when they talk.
Okay.
And I'm like, yes.
Like, everyone in this movie kind of sucks as people slightly more than in any other Barbie movie, but an intensely good way. Like,
yeah.
Like, Annika's kind of a brat, but, like, in a way that she's very stubborn and she never gives up. Aiden is kind of, like, sarcastic, but because he's, like, worldly, and you're like,
yeah.
I support you, my boy. And Brietta's kind of a coward, but because she's sad, and
yeah.
Bless her little heart, I love her so much.
To be fair, she's been trying for a long time, and
mm-hmm.
she doesn't really have, like, that young, naive hope anymore.
So her bear went down the slide thing, and she's like, I gotta go find my bear. And he's like, you can't do that. Your bear's gone, dude. And she's like, ha, watch me. And she jumps down the slide thing, and he's like, oh, wait, don't do that. And then she ends up in a troll stew pot.
Yeah, and Aiden hangs out with Brietta, and they bond or whatever. And this troll man, who is actually, he's a giant. His name is Ollie. Ollie the Giant.
It sure is.
He's a struggling British actor who's just trying to make it in the world. That was a meta joke. Sorry.
Ollie the Giant,
Ollie.
Not Johnny. Anyways, he's voiced by John DeSantis, who I have found out is one of the tallest actors in Canada.
Oh!
So because of that, you know, he's very tall, he's very thick, so they have him play dudes who are just absolute units.
Yeah,
did good. You watch any of the Netflix series of Unfortunate Events?
Yes.
He's the bald guy in Count Olaf's acting troupe, the really big one.
Oh, okay.
He's also like four monsters in Supernatural.
That. good.
So I'm proud of him. He's living his best life.
Good for
him.
He
doesn't do, like, any other voice acting. They were just like, we need someone who can be large.
Even and he's though like, I'm like... large. And they're like, well, it's a voice acting role. And he's like, oh, okay. So they are in a giant pot, her and Shiver. And this troll man is gonna eat them. And I'd like to say that this is where my youth stems from, where I had a weird fixation of things eating me. We have a place where I grew up, and it's called Storybook Island, and there's, like, it's just, like, storybook things. There's fun little creatures.
Uh-huh, so fun.
There is Yogi the Bear, mm-hmm. and he has a basket.
A picnic basket.
And when we were little, Ray and I were all like, oh no, he's gonna eat us. Also, the Dalmatians were like, they're carnivorous dogs or something. I don't know why we were such freaks.
I don't know. Why did we have an obsession with things trying to eat us? I don't. Anyways, we were just trying to escape from this giant bear, man.
Where were we?
Well,
this giant troll man is gonna eat them. We are really in it now, buddy. We're a little bit stewed.
So this scene.
Yeah, this scene.
This scene is not necessary.
No, this scene is specifically so that they can have 3D effects.
So she's in a pot. There are giant vegetables. I don't know how he grew vegetables so very large.
He's throwing them at them. And in the computer disc game, you have to, like, avoid the vegetables as they fall. I remember that specifically. So his name is Ollie, and he's going to eat her and this tiny bear. And she's like, oh, we're not much to eat, you know? And he's all like, what? So she just starts insulting this man. She just comes for his life.
She's like, maybe after you eat us, you won't be so scrawny.
And he's like, Ollie? Scrawny? And she's like, yeah. She's like, you know, the giant up the road, he can rip a log in half with his bare hands. He's like, Ollie can do that. And Ollie picks up a log and rips it in half. She's like, well, he can also rip a door straight off its hinges. And Ollie rips the door off its hinges. And what she's doing is slowly, gradually getting it up mm-hmm. and giving herself a way out. And she's like, well, there is one last thing, but you probably can't do it. And he's like, no, Ollie can do it. She's like, well, he can also tie himself up to a beam with a chain and rip himself free. So Ollie ties himself up with a chain, locks it, and then cannot free himself. And she takes her ribbon out of her hair, which keeps changing lengths, as it does in movies with not good contingency. And she ties it to a carrot, like a little grappling hook, and pulls herself out of the pot with her bear cub. And then they run away, and she's like, bye, Ollie! Because she's a sweetheart. And then he rips himself free, and his house crashes down, and I feel really bad for this man and his livelihood.
She really just destroyed everything around him.
She did. So she runs off, and
we skipped, there's the one part where right after he lights the fire to, you know, cook them with, Shiver is, like, leaning against the bottom of the pot, and Annika's like, feels nice, that's good, but we'll die.
She's like, you warm, huh? And Shiver's like, brrr. And she's like, well, we can't stay, we'll die. that bear! So dumb! Anyway, so they run off, and then they find Aiden and Brietta, and she's like, ugh, Aiden's here? Lame.
Well, Aiden was like, I was coming to save you, but I guess, you got it?
You're fine? And she's like, of course I'm fine. I can take care of myself. And he's like, geez, okay. And her sister's like, wait. She's like, yeah, I just used my ribbon. She's like, wait, Annika, your ribbon, hold it up. She's like, oh, it's your exact height. And they're like, oh, a measure of courage. And then it turns into a staff. And Shiver's like, oh, sparkle wand. And then they convince Aiden to help because...
Well, Aiden's like, you guys are trying to make a wand of light fake. And they're like,
yeah, and she's like, did you not
literally
just see that?
Happened?
And he's like, well, okay, that's fair, but we're also in the Forbidden Forest and I've seen a lot of weird shit, guys. But they convince him and they're like, we have to find a jewel.
While he's walking away for a second, she's like, ugh, he's such a mule, and you know she meant ass. So the reason that she decides they need Aiden is because she sees Aiden's sword and she's like, it's pretty good. Pretty good looking sword. Where'd you get it? He's like, I made it. And she's like, oh, you made it. And he's like, yeah, I'm good at that. So she decides that she needs
him
to
help
put the wand together.
No, but I'm gonna need a blacksmith or someone to be able to put the wand together. And he's like, no. And she's like, I'll pay you. I am a princess of a kingdom. I have access to a lot of money, okay, and I'm trying to save my kingdom.
He's still, like, walking away, and then she's like, I made a mistake, and you need a second chance. And he just is like, same dude.
He's like,
so
God,
he goes with them.
Right in my heartstrings. So, they go, and they find... He's all like, I know a guy who knows jewels. So they go to this dinky little shop with a guy named Ferris. And he's a ratty little man.
Ferris is my boy Brian Drummond. He showed up to be a weird dude again.
Yeah, he did. What a man. What a boy.
Honestly.
So, Aiden's gonna, he's all like, you can have any information for the right price. And Aiden's gonna trade in his sword. And Annika's all like, no, wait. And she has her fancy, jewel-encrusted ice skates. And she's like, what about these? And he's like, well, they're nice, but she's like, oh, you don't want them? And he's like, no, did not say that.
But like,
and then he,
that
what?
Little moment of support means so much to me. Like, we haven't even established Aiden's sword as being, like, particularly emotionally special to him or anything. But she's just like, no, that's his.
Yeah, she's like, this is my problem. I'm not gonna make him lose anything.
But he was also gonna go for it, also. Like, they're good
people. Yeah, he was like, okay, sure, you can have my sword.
So, like, this is the first moment of bonding between them, and I love that. Sorry, I just, I get caught up in that kind of stuff.
I really like the progression of their relationship. They are, like, snarky strangers to lovers.
Honestly. I feel like this is the only movie with, like, a straight Barbie romance that has, like, an enemies to lovers plot. And it's, like, they do a good job with it, you know?
It's not even enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
It's just, like,
well,
I
they
hate
don't
you
like
to
each
lovers.
Other.
That's true. It's so good. I really like this movie. Okay, I want to take a side break because I forgot we were going to do this, but the hero's steps, the hero's journey.
Oh, yes, yes, lay it on me.
So there's three acts. There's the ordinary world, the special world, and then there's the return to the ordinary world. So she's in her ordinary world, which is her kingdom, and then there's the call to adventure, which is, you know, her family getting turned to stone. And then there's the refusal, and she didn't really have a refusal. It was kind of the, he's all like, it might have been the, him being all like, marry me, and then she was like, no, and that was kind of the refusal, but not really.
Because I feel like the journey
it's more
is
of
more
a
like making the wand of
it's
light
a refusal
to save everyone.
To go on the journey, yeah.
Or,
and then there's
okay,
the,
so the refusal could either be when she doesn't listen to her parents. No, that doesn't quite make sense. But you know, that's
no,
like
because,
supposed
yeah.
to be the inciting incident. That's why she blames herself. For all of this, mm-hmm. because she didn't listen to her parents, she feels
yeah.
like she should have because
so
they had already lost the daughter.
So I think instead, Brietta did the
right.
refusal.
Brietta
for
did
her.
The refusal to the actual hero's
because
journey to go get the wand.
I feel like the queen of the Cloud Kingdom, she might be the mentor.
Oh yeah, she is.
It's the meeting with the mentor, and she meets, you know, with the Cloud Queen, and she's like, "This is Cloud Queen is giving her the adventure, basically."
Oh, hello?
And Brietta is the one who refuses it, and then they cross into the threshold. So the meeting with the mentor is her, blah, blah, blah. So and then the crossing to the threshold is literally them going into the Forbidden Forest. And then in the then you're into the special world, which is the test allies, enemies, an approach to the inmost cave. And in this case, we have an actual cave. So the tests and the allies. So we meet our allies, which are Brietta and Aiden, and then there's the tests, like, with Ollie, and then with Ferris, and he gives them information. We're caught up now, but he gives them the information, and he's all like, there's a cave of wonders, basically.
Well,
and
he doesn't tell them about the cave. He tells them that there's a chest that's buried somewhere with a flame brand on it. And that he
yeah,
has a map
and it
to
turned
it.
A man to ash the next day, and he gives them a map. And then they go up to, like, the snowy mountains, because that's where he said it was, and he basically lied to them.
Oh yeah, he big-time lied.
And then they stop for a rest in the snowy mountains.
Okay, that
and
seems
then
extremely important to me, because it's Annika's stubbornness coming up against reality, because she's like, mm-hmm. we need to keep looking, we cannot give up right now, this is important to me, so we're gonna do it. And Aiden's like, dude, Brietta's been carrying you all day, she's exhausted, we can't keep doing this, we need to take mm-hmm. a break. And she's like, oh, right.
Yeah.
So,
because Brietta would have kept going, mm-hmm. but she literally cannot. So they stop in a cave, and then her and Aiden kind of bond, and Shiver sleeps under Brietta's wing, and it's sweet or whatever. And he kind... No, that's later. He talks about it later.
Yeah.
But they bond a little bit. And then in the morning, they come out and the snow has stopped. And then up on an adjacent mountain, there's like a shine. And she's like, oh, what is it called? Light's Eternal Flame.
Well, because the sun's coming up. And they're like, it's the dawn of the final day. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And Brianna's like, our last
hope. That scary moon
is
going to murder us.
What's more hopeful than the dawn? And it's shining on ice. That's it!
Yeah.
Hope's Eternal Flame. And it's like, my girl, I think you are stretching.
But I thought they were stretching with a measure of courage, and apparently they weren't. So they fly up to the top of the mountain, and they find a fancy little cave, and then there's, like, steps down, and they find the Cave of Wonder. And they clean it off, and she's like, can you read it? And it says, take only what you need, but never from greed. And they're like, okay, take only what we need. And they go down and they find a room filled with gems.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, plucks one up very carefully and she's like, eh? And there's like a few gems sitting in strategic spots with like lights shining on them. So we assume those are like the special ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aiden takes one and she's like, wait, Aiden, no. And he takes it and nothing happens.
It's fine.
And she's like, okay. And he's like, okay, let's go. And then the cave shirt starts shaking, and they're like, Shiver, no! Because Shiver the Bastard, just like the monkey in Aladdin, whose name is Abu. I know he has a name, okay? Don't go after my life like this. But the monkey in Aladdin takes things, and Shiver is all like, oh, shiny, shiny,
okay.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Anyone who was paying attention to the film up to this point could have seen this coming. They should have seen this coming. Could someone not have watched the bear?
They should have just held the bear. Don't let her down. Gosh. Ah! Anyways, the cave starts to collapse and they run away and they escape with their two gems. So now they can never go back. And then they go back to the cave they slept in the night before. And
well,
she's like,
they're like, we need the last thing. We need a ring of love. And they're like, how are we supposed to get that? And Aiden says, well, maybe I can make one.
Yeah. And he's going to use his sword again. He's like, well, we gotta meld it somehow. And she's like, no, wait, use my crown. Because Brianna has a crown from when she was a human. And it's the last thing she has from her old life.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, Brianna. And she's like, no, they're my parents too. I want to do this. So she takes the crown and she's like, oh, it's a ring of love. And then the crown completes itself. And Aiden's all like, okay, I will get to work on this fancy wand.
Okay, logically, the wand has been magically making itself the whole time. There is no way that they would have needed the dude to do
just
that.
Just put the pieces together and do it, whatever. He makes it beautiful.
It's fine.
So she's like, I don't get it though. Why didn't it collapse when you took a gem? And he's like, he tells like a story, and I'm like, oh geez, is this a little dark for Barbie? He gambled away his parents' fortune. They gave him all they had, and he thought he could make more, but he just gambled it all away, and then he couldn't face them again.
He had so to he just go didn't. To the Forbidden Forest so no one would ever see him again because he was that ashamed.
Yeah, so they bond a little bit.
He just wants to be able to pay them back so that maybe they'll accept him home and forgive him.
Yeah. So he forges and it's good and he makes a fancy wand of light for them. And they're like, well, how do we know it works? And I don't know if the wording is specific, but she's like, oh, we'll break Brietta's spell. And she's like, from the bottom of my heart or whatever. Which she's is the only time it ever works is when she says from the bottom of my heart. And I think they're just showing that it's like a true hopeful wish. It's like a good thing. It's a good magic. Because it won't do magic out of like malicious intent.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be only good intent. So she's like, from the bottom of my heart, break the spell on my sister. And Brianna turns into a person. And they're like, yay! Wait, oh no, now we don't have a flying horse. But the Cloud Queen gave her a magic bell. She's like, this is all I can really do, but if you ever need help, ring this and I'll send help for you. So they ring the bell and she sends magic flying horses for them.
So they get the horses and Brianna's like, remember me, Goldie? And it's like, did you live with them in the stables? Is this weird for you? Like,
yeah! Are those your roommates? So they get on the horses and they're gonna, you know, go back and free her parents. But then Winlock is there.
Wait. You skipped
what?
The most important. Okay. Cause.
Oh, Aiden separates.
Yeah. Annika's like, I guess this is goodbye. And Aiden's like, what about Winlock? And she's like, oh, I can take care of him. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Dude.
She's like, you gotta go to your parents and I gotta go to mine.
And then Aiden's like stepping forward and he's like, I think I should. And she's like, I know, you need to go home. You waited so long. And he's like, oh, yeah? Because that's not what he was going to say. I love that. How come miscommunication is the most romantic thing? Yeah. I don't know. It just, that's the best scene in the entire movie. Okay.
It really is. So, okay, the Cave of Wonders was definitely the innermost cave in the special world. And then there is an ordeal. And I think the ordeal is kind of like a long arc because Winlock comes and then he knocks them out of the sky. But she's all like, destroy Winlock, destroy him. And nothing happens.
She's so he's really like, mad because her sister's passed out. She's like, what the fuck? You hurt my sister. And then she tries to murder him.
And it doesn't work. So he takes the wand and then he like buries her in an avalanche.
Yeah.
And he's like, ho 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 ho. And then he leaves.
It's really kind of awkward because he's like, any last words? And she just is like standing there on her weird little thing that's like singing in the ground. Yeah. And he's like, guess not. And then just...
So this, like, from this scene on until they defeat Winlock is, I think, the entirety of the ordeal. Mm-hmm. Because then there is the reward, which is the seizing of the sword. And we'll get to that in just a bit. So he goes back to the castle, Winlock does, and he takes his castle, his, like, you know, the troll king caves mountain. he steals with the wand and buries her in an avalanche. And then Aiden comes back. He finds them. And he's like, Brietta, where is... Annika, and she's like, she's under there, and then she tries to dig her out.
As soon as she says that, Aiden, like, falls on the ground and gets after it. Like, that boy is desperate. He's like, I never should have left her.
Yeah, and I know this is a children's movie, and they, like, make it easy, but she was definitely further
down. She was, like, 40 feet under there, and they, like, barely show him, like, clawing at the beginning of... He's just, like, flapping at it harmlessly.
Yeah, he's, like, at the beginning of the pile, like, not even, like, Brianna's in it, like, and he's, like...
Oh, we'll never get her out. Her. And it's, like, no, you definitely
immediately
won't.
Gets her out.
And then the boy just shows up, and then suddenly...
Yeah, so they take her out of the avalanche, and then they go back to Cloud Castle. And then we switch kind of to Winlock, and he can't use the Wand of Light, so he's like, ugh,
he's
whatever.
He's trying to use it to make his wives work double time.
And they all flinch and nothing happens. So he's like, ugh, knew it was a useless myth. So he throws it and then the stone on top gets dislodged. Mm-hmm. And we switch to the Cloud Kingdom and Annika is passed out and she is out of it. And they're like, is she awake yet? And it's like, no. And they're losing time because this is the third day. And
if the sun sets, everyone is stoned forever.
Yeah. So she wakes up and she's like, oh no, we have to do something. And they're like, you literally had hypothermia, please. but she's like, no, we have to go save them. So they're like, okay. And the trio of small girls, they're all like, we will delay the sunset as long as we can. Which I thought was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah,
like, they
introduced
that and then, yeah. Like, it wasn't just a fun little bit.
They're just gonna paint the clouds, but really, really slowly.
Yeah, and it's cute. They're all like, if I go any slower, I'm gonna fall asleep. And she's like, oh, Blush already has. Or
Lilac. The purple one's the sleepy one.
Yeah, she's sleepy. I love her. So they're trying to delay, and the Cloud Queen gives them cloud cover with their flying horses as they approach Troll Mountain.
But they can't fly the whole way because the Griffin will see them because it's patrolling. So they have to go down a back route with ice skates.
With ice skates. So Brietta stays there. She's going to stay there with the horses, and also Shiver
is supposed to stay there with the horses.
And Annika and Aiden are gonna go, and they go down, and she's like, can you keep up? And he's like, please.
So I
and
think
then they're both good at ice skating.
They're playing Pastoral again, the Beethoven track. It's such fun, jaunty music. This trip is incredibly harrowing. There are huge jumps and tiny gaps and little pathways, so they have to go on one foot, and these sheer drops.
Kind of leans forward, and then she slips down the drop and slides after them.
Yep, there's a bear here now.
Yeah, so they ice skate, and then they make it down, and she tries to sneak over to the wand, but he sees them.
The griffin sees them first, and Aiden is like, I will fight that by myself, and it's like, okay, dude, sure.
So he's fighting the griffin, and he's gone.
Fighting the griffin, he's having a very rough time, and then Shiver just, like, is off like a shot, and she's like, sparkle! Without a care in the world, because she can sense that there's a treasure hoard. She can't see it yet, but she knows it's there.
That's her only power, is seeing sparkle hordes. So she and Annika go, and she's, like, playing in the coins. And I'm like,
Rate the mood, Shiver.
Gosh. So Annika's trying to be sneaky, but obviously Shiver downs those stats. And she tries to get the wand, but the gem has been knocked loose. And then it, like, goes flying, and right. She tries to get it, and it goes off the edge.
Shiver is the one who finds the wand, it says in my notes. And she's like, sparkle wand, because that's the only thing she's good for. She knows.
Yeah.
She can sense it, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. But yeah. The gem just goes, she just yeets the gem.
Mm-hmm. It, like, goes sliding and falls off the cliff. And you're like, no. And then Aiden, like, comes up, and you're like, oh, maybe Aiden got it. But he didn't. Instead, he gives her his stone. She's like, but you need it. And he's like, no, you need it more than I do. So she puts it in the wand, and then things happen. And then the wand is, like, knocked out of her hand, and one of the troll wives get it. And Winlock is all like, give it here. And she's like, no, give it to me. I can save all of us. We can all be free.
Because this is the first time that Annika has noticed that these trolls all have wedding bands on. Mm-hmm. These are his wives.
She looks at them. They all have rings. Yeah. What?
So I'd like to take a small break here to talk about how there is something in this movie to be said about, like, men using their power to coerce women into doing what they want and destroying their lives without caring, because all that matters is their own desires. But then, like,
and then as soon as she's not desirable anymore, you don't want her.
Like, how absolutely callous he is. Like, but how women can break this cycle of violence when they trust each other and support each other. Like,
that's so good.
Like, you're like, so this right. scene is, like, the crux of the movie for this kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But, like, even, like, the way that Winlock acts, like, what he's doing isn't coercion. Women just want him. They race after him because he's irresistible. Not, like he's literally using his power
coercing
to force
them.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what I'm saying, but also I kind of want to write a paper about it. Like,
yeah.
There is something here in this movie. This movie
it's
is
trying
about
to tell
feminism.
Me something. I know it. Honestly, all Barbie movies are a little bit about feminism.
They are.
They're specifically about girls helping their friends and their family and having power and doing the right thing. And I like it. So, they're, like, yelling at the waifu, and they're all like, give me the wand. No, give me the wand. And she gives it to Annika. And this is specifically the reward, the seizing of the sword. She literally has the wand again.
Yeah, very specifically. So, wow, that fits very well.
It is specifically, that's why I really like this movie. I don't know that Magic of Pegasus is one of my favorite Barbie movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think about it. Like, I'm all like, oh yeah, my favorite ones are like Princess and the Pauper and the Rock and Royal one. Like, there's specific ones that I really, really like, but this one's really special because the plot is so solid. It,
like
follows
I said,
this pleasing order
I don't
that
feel like
you're
it's
used
a super,
to in media.
I don't feel like it's a super tight plot. Like, you know, like I was saying, you could toss out the Ollie scene, like, and there's some things that it's like, okay, I kind of see what you're going for there, but I'm not positive. But it's like, the core of what they have here is so, it's so good, and, like, the characters are so different tonally than how they usually are, and it's so much fun.
Well,
and, like,
they
I really like this
have...
movie. I didn't think that this was one of the better Barbie movies, but I had so much fun watching it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's really good character development, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I don't know, I just think it's specifically because there's, like, the whole, there's only, like, three stories anymore. And that's not entirely true, but it's just basically saying that there's, like, three baseline plot points that you can kind of follow, and one of them is the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And this just follows that so well. So, like, Odysseus, it's just really pleasing for the viewer. You're all like, okay, here's your quest, you reject the quest, you accept the quest, you have these specific harrowing incidences in which you prevail, and then you save the day. And it's, I really like it because it's all like, here is your quest, you have these three specific quests. And that's also, like, a pattern in things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to collect these three things. And I really like how this movie
so
flows.
Like,
and I don't know.
The thing about this movie is that a lot of the stuff in it is new. The way that the characters act is new. Mm-hmm. The tone is new. The story is new.
Yeah.
You know, like, this one and Fairytopia are the first ones that are a completely original property.
Yeah.
Without a basis on something else. But it's also, like, extremely classic at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, this movie's good.
I just really like this movie. I don't know. So the waifu lady gives her, the troll gives her the wand, and she's all like, I want to break all of Winlock's spells from the bottom of my heart.
Like, she says something specifically about for the love of my sister and the love of my family. Like, I feel like the mm-hmm. wand is a lot about love.
Yeah, but it's from the bottom of her heart. She says that again.
She does, yeah.
Specifically, yeah, it has to be from your heart. It can't be from anger or anything else. It has to be love and stuff. And basically, Annika is the sugar plum fairy. She does this magic wand thing, and then all of a sudden her clothes transform.
Yeah,
and
that was not one of Winlock's spells. Fairy. I'm sorry.
Okay. Her outfits, Annika's outfits are so iconic. Like the one she starts in, it's cute. When she goes to the village festival, her little ice skinny outfit and her hair's in a little updo. It's so fancy and cute. And then she goes on an adventure and she has a new little dress. And then this dress is super pretty and I really like it. Ah! Anyways, so then the waifus all turn back to normal. And Wenlock turns into this crotchety old man. Like he shrinks down and he has a balding spot and his griffin is a cat. And so he was using his magic on himself too.
He doesn't even really have heterochromia. What a scrub.
He had heterochromia. He gave himself mismatched eyes.
Wenlock looked at a warlock and he got a magic wand and he was like, this is my original OC. Original content. Do not steal.
Do not steal.
Like everything about his design makes sense in that context.
Uh-huh.
It's perfect. Hey, this movie's
so
really
he's
good.
He's a nasty little man. It really is. And so all of the spells are broken, and they're all like, to the three wives, they're like, we can take you with us. And they're like, no, that's okay. We're gonna stay here with our hubby, have some talking time.
Oh, how the tables
are
tabled.
And she's all like, I want you to buff my nails, make it snappy. And they're like, yeah, double time. So they're basically gonna torture this tiny man and his cat.
Oh yeah, the griffin was just his cat. I love that.
Yeah. So all of the spells are broken, and they return home, and, you know, she's there with her parents, and she's like, I'm sorry that I said, you know, mean awful things to you, and that I snuck out. And they're like, well, we're sorry we didn't tell you the truth. And she's like, I love you. And then she's like, I have a surprise. And they're like, oh? And then her sister comes in, and her parents are very emotional
they're
and
so happy.
They're so happy,
yeah, oh man.
I love them. And so they're like, we're sorry we didn't tell you the truth, and it's a good little family bonding moment, and they all love each other, and they all support each other.
Yeah, because like, even from the beginning of the movie, we were like, they're kind of both in the wrong here. And then, you know, at the end of the movie, they're like, yeah, they were, and they're both apologized, so now we're good. It's like, wow,
yeah.
Movie, you thought of everything. Thank you.
I know. And then we switch back to Aiden and we get closure there too. He goes to home and his dad is doing a blacksmith. And I just want to point out, his dad is crazy textured. He's like the most chiseled, attractive man in a Barbie movie. And I'm not like in a way that like a 40-year-old man is attractive. Like, he has an angular face. He has some light stubble. He's a little bit graying. He's like classically handsome. And I don't like it because you see his face and you're like, oh, that's a man. And then it switches to his son and you're like, who is that polygon boy? He's like baby-faced and polygon and he just doesn't have texture. Where's the flavor? And it's just so weird to look at his dad's face. I don't like it. His dad was also someone.
Brian Drummond. It's also him. He did.
Yeah,
this
it was
one.
Brian Drummond again. And I was just okay. I don't know who, but his dad specifically looks like someone, like some dude.
And I feel like I know what you're saying, but I also can't think of who you're thinking of.
Yeah, I'll ask my mom when she comes home tonight. He looks like someone, and I'm like, oh. He doesn't look like the voice actor because I looked up pictures. It's weird. Anyways, you know, his dad, like, didn't even blame him. He's just happy that his son is home. And his son is all like, also, I got a lot of money for saving the princess. Also, LMAO, I'm in love with the princess.
This and is my GF, like, she's a princess.
Yeah, he's like, also, and doesn't she, like, come up? And she's like, hi, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And his dad's all like, holy shit. And, you know, we get closure with both of their parents, and then we just, like, switch, and they're skating on a cloud in the sky with all of their sky friends.
Which seems dangerous to me, but okay.
And they're skating together, her and Aiden.
Brietta gives the Cloud Queen Rayla the wand.
The
and
wand.
She turns
She's like,
it into
I think
a
you should
star
have it.
For safekeeping.
She says, it'll be the first star you see each night.
Hey.
And it's super nice. And anyways, I'd like to reiterate, the Queen, Rayla, and Brietta,
they're in
they
love.
They can now date. They're in love. They spent this whole time, like, who else did they have? Children and horses. I guess they could have
the
had
Moria's actual
castle.
Happy ending is that Brienne is human again, so they can be together finally.
Yes! Slow burn.
Honestly.
20 years of slow burn, where your GF is a horse. It'd be like that sometimes.
I'd write that fanfic.
Anyways, and it, like, fades to black, and it's very soft and romantic, and it's a happy ending. And then, do y'all know what we get? Do you know what we get? It's cutscenes. We get cutscenes.
Bloopers.
We get bloopers. And
Ollie relishes a midday riposte.
Yeah, Ollie's all like, well, maybe I could be like this, because he, you know, he's like all British or whatever.
He's and just a struggling, like, Shakespearean actor who has to be.
Yeah, a troll man. And they're like, no, we just want you to say Ollie hungry.
Ollie
and he's
want
like,
lunch.
Fine. And he's like, ugh, fine. And then he's like skating, and they're like, Ollie, can you get out of the frame? And he's like, ugh. And then there's a cute little scene where Ken and Barbie are exchanging IM, like, emails. And then the Griffin comes out of nowhere and just, like, tackles Ken.
There's a scene where Shiver is going down a slide thing, and she slams into the camera person, and the director's like, yeah. Carlene, are you all right? And she's like, yes, just get the bear off the camera.
Carlene, I'm in love with you,
Carlene
whoever you are.
Carlene is the best character.
Her voice, and I'm just like, oh, I'm gay?
Oh, and then they do the, please wake up, please, I need you, when Annika's
passed
out.
And then Barbie keeps laughing.
They ruined
like,
that
I'm sorry,
scene
I can't.
For me. I can't not think
I
about
know.
The bloopers.
Well, then, you know, she does it twice, and she's like, okay, I really can do it this time, let's do it again. And they're doing it, and he's like, please wake up, I need you. And she's like, Aiden? And then she opens her eyes and starts laughing, and he turns around and faces the camera because he's wearing a clown nose. And
okay.
She's like, can we break? Can we?
Okay, and then he's like, can we cut the line? I don't think it's working for me. You know what? He doesn't say I need you in the movie. They cut the line
does
because
he
didn't like it. It was actually his devious plot the whole time.
I hope y'all love our play-by-play of the cutscenes. anyways, that's Magic of Pegasus. It's a really good movie. I think, okay, honestly, I'm gonna give this movie a 9.
Really?
Yes. It is not one of my favorites, but it is a super solid movie. The music is really good. The character development is really good. The plot development is really good. They have a solid plot. They have solid characters. They follow through, and they close up their loose ends.
Okay, because I was thinking that, like,
at least
it's so
an
much
a,
more
think.
Solid than I thought it was going to be. Like,
yeah.
But like I said, it's also not that tight. Like, I
it's
can almost
not.
Tell that it's this guy's first movie. I was going to give it more like a 7.
Okay. At least an 8 for me, just because...
Yeah, yeah we
yeah,
can have
for
different
sure,
things,
it's not his
know.
First... Yeah, that's fine. But it's not his first movie, but, like, for plot-wise, for Barbie movies, mm-hmm. And Fairytopia was really solid, but it felt longer and with, like, a lot of weird blank spaces, But this is, I don't know, it's just really solid for me. So yeah, I think, at, like, 8.5, maybe.
Okay. Nice.
I really enjoy this movie. I think it's just really fun how structured it is. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, great time. I think
that's
that we
it.
Got through everything. I had everything in my notes, I think.
Yeah. Do you have any other fun little tidbits?
I had like a thought about Brietta, but now I can't remember what it was.
That
it was
she's
like,
hot?
Oh. I did have a thought. Do you feel like the scene where Aiden's like, maybe I could make a ring of love, and then it turns out that Brietta's the one who has the ring of love, do you feel like that's like a mislead, kind of like in Frozen? You know what I mean?
A little bit.
Because, like, it
I
doesn't really come off that way, but I feel like it could have. Maybe that was the intention.
Yeah.
For you to think, oh, yeah, you know, they'll be in love. But actually, it's because her sister loves her sister and
familial
her family
love.
And her
yeah.
kingdom, you know?
Maybe. It could be, like, an allusion to, I love this girl. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Aiden
implying
maybe thinking
that,
that
he
could
does,
do it.
Yeah, him loving her. And then that like, solidifies the scene where he's all like, I think I should go with you.
Right.
But she cuts
but
him off. And
because
all,
like, she doesn't realize that he feels that way about her, you know? Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe that you're right and that's saying that he's realized his feelings for her. But, you mm-hmm. know, she hasn't really picked up on it. She's thinking he just needs to go home. This is my problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, that was the only real thought that I had left that I think we didn't cover.
I love Annika.
I love Brietta so much. Brietta is a sad, soft
I love them
lesbian.
Both so much.
Okay, Brietta and Rayla, OTP, okay?
Yeah.
We got two great relationships in this Barbie movie. It's great.
I'm trying to look. Do you remember the Happy Meals?
I do not.
I'm going to send you a picture. Because I was thinking, we had a lot of, like, Barbies growing up, but I don't think my sister or I had Magic Pegasus specifically.
Oh my goodness, those are so cute.
But those
cute.
Are really cute, yeah. But I don't, like, have, like, a nostalgic feeling towards the Barbie toys.
Mm-hmm.
I do think I had, like, a tiny Shiver doll. I think I had that pink one with Shiver on it from Happy Meals.
Okay, so this movie must have been pretty big. I feel like no one talks about this movie. I feel like because...
All Barbie movies were really big in the early 2000s. Yeah. The Barbie movies came out, they had toys for it, you got the toys, Happy Meals had Barbie toys. They were really big.
This movie in particular feels like it's kind of fallen to the wayside, though. I feel like because it's an original property instead of, like, based mm-hmm. on something. And also because they never really did anything else with it. You know, this one doesn't have any sequels or anything.
Yeah, one second. Because I was talking to, I'm going to butcher this name, sorry. Philomena? Philomena?
Okay, that's how I'd pronounce it. I don't know.
Philomena. Anyways, you should tell me how to pronounce your name. Who is, Put a Shrimp on It, the other Barbie
podcast.
Oh, yes.
Okay, then.
And we were kind of talking about, like, the toys that were out when we were younger. And, I had, the Fairytopia, like, Polly Pocket, like, specifically the pocket-sized Pollys. Do you remember those? I had that whole setup. I'll find a picture. I'll get a picture and I'll send it to you. But it, like, has her flower home. It has peony.
Oh.
And it had, like, a lilac's little home and stuff. And I had a lot of Barbie paraphernalia. And also specifically Barbie movie paraphernalia growing up.
I did not. I didn't have very much Barbie stuff. Like,
yeah.
We have, like, a bag somewhere that's full of, like, assorted Barbie things. Not very many mm-hmm. of them are, like, actual movie things or anything.
Yeah. Also, because I think we're doing it this week, I'll ask, so, and I can edit this out. Y'all might be wondering why we're here. Where you participated in a fun little, feed drop? I think it's called a feed drop.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're doing a little feed drop with Put a Shrimp on It, which is another Barbie movie fan podcast.
Which is such a good name.
It is. So, it's really fun. They followed us on Twitter. It's Jason and Philomena, which I'll look it up to how to pronounce your name. But, and they do another Barbie podcast, and they're doing the CGI Barbie movies, and they're just, I now know that there's, like, five other Barbie podcast things, and everyone is so supportive of each other, and I just really like this little community of, like, I feel like the CGI Barbie, like, movie fandom is, like, kind of having a resurgence. I keep seeing things about
it. Yeah.
And maybe that's because I'm looking for it now. But I just really appreciate all of you guys. Everyone who supports our podcast and who supports the other podcasts and just the movies in general. I just really love everybody.
Thank you guys for caring about Barbie movies.
Yeah. Anyways, so this is... Listen to Put a Shrimp on It. They're really fun. I've only listened to, like, two of their episodes because I'm really bad at listening to podcasts. But they're really funny, and I love them. So we'll have an episode of theirs on our feed, and I'll make a Twitter post where this is going to be. Obviously, if you're listening to it, you've already found it. But our next episode will be the 12 Dancing Princesses, and that will be back on our channel.
Bro.
So, yeah. Anyways, we'll figure it out. It'll be good. Listen to their podcast. It's really fun. And also, I'll probably try to find a list of other ones and, like, mention one, like, at the end of each episode, maybe,
well,
and be like,
nice.
Hey, this is another Barbie podcast. So, today, it's Put a Shrimp on It. I know they're on Spotify. I don't know if they're anywhere else, but they do have a Twitter, if you would like to follow them, which is... It's just at Shrimp on It. And I'll put that in whatever the words at the bottom, subtext. Hover text. Y'all know what I mean.
We also have a Twitter. It's at Barbie Slaps.
We do! Follow us at Barbie Slaps on twitter.com. I also made a Tumblr, but I don't update it, so don't follow that one.
You didn't even tell me.
Do you want to run the Twitter? Because, I mean, the Tumblr?
I'll run your secret Tumblr.
Thanks! I think it's at Barbie Slaps.
Okay.
Well, I was trying to figure out how to add you. But I have, like, 15.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just Barbie Slaps on Tumblr.
Nice.
I don't think I have any. I think I have, like, 3 posts. So it's not really regularly updated. But if you use Tumblr, we could try to update that. Just let us know. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We love you guys.
Hey, Ted.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, Barbie movies.
Hey?
They slap.
Yeah? Oh my gosh. Barbie movies slap. They slap so hard. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.